What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of For the Love of Cinema, a movie podcast where our motto is, we just hope it doesn't suck. This is episode 375, broken up into two parts, A and B.
A, B.
Ooh, guys, good to have you guys both back. 375A, posting on 326.
I had to do both of those myself last week,
you
and
poor,
it was very taxing.
Poor bastard. I'm so sorry.
It was, he was pushed to the limit on that one. 375A post on 326 will be discussed on Arthur the King, and 375B post on 329 posting on 329 will be discussion on Damsel, a Netflix exclusive. I'm one of your hosts, Grayson Maxwell. Joining me, as he does every week, is my co-host Roger Astillion and our lovely, lovely permaguest Christopher Bond. I gave you an extra lovely today, Chris. How do you feel about that?
Yo.
That's how you feel. Okay.
That's
guys,
it. Yep.
What's going on, guys? How are we this week?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very expressive, you guys. Very emotive.
I don't know. This week, I'm good this week. Nothing happened, I don't think. Been busy. Planning vacation, planning trips and stuff, so is what it is.
Ooh, planning vacation.
Huh? Nothing exciting. We're going to Cleveland.
Mm. Whoa. Like Cleveland, Tennessee?
No, like
Cleveland, Ohio.
Like might die Cleveland, yeah. Yeah, might die in Cleveland.
Why are you going there?
Because buddy of mine wants to go see the solar eclipse, and he thought, why not mix in some death in there? So.
I mean, why not mix in some death? That's the question.
April 8th is going to be a fucking badass day.
It is. No, but
from what I understand, all crime is legal during the eclipse.
That's what I'm told.
It's like the purge.
Not at all true whatsoever.
I don't know, man.
Hey, you do not know that.
You need to look at your eclipse.
What do you mean I don't know? Okay, you're telling me I don't know that during the eclipse on April 8th, all crime is not legal? Trust me, I know that.
Just Google it.
Don't you live in California?
Yeah.
Isn't crime legal there anyway? So what does it matter?
I mean, it's...
Yeah, no eclipse for you anyway, but you could just be in envy of our eclipse.
Yeah, all you get is the crime, no eclipse.
But why do I not get the eclipse?
You get like 80% eclipse here.
Because you're not, because you're on the wrong side of the fucking eclipse, planet buddy. For it.
Like the entire planet doesn't go dark.
Yeah, there's like a path for the eclipse.
It's a couple hundred mile line. It'll see the eclipse. Yeah.
Basically, like go from Texas and go in a diagonal line, like up the United States, passing over
out through all the way into Greenland. So
that's pretty cool, actually. That's pretty
it is.
So,
it
yeah,
is.
So like Cleveland, legitimately, Cleveland is going to be probably a very cool place to be because like a lot
except
of stuff's happening.
And the death.
In spite of it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So like the Cleveland Guardians home opener is that day. So I hope they do it in the middle of the fucking eclipse because that would be badass.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I think it's going to be cool. Like we'll have like 80% darkness level here. So that ought to be pretty cool.
Yep. No, we've been planning this for a while. Unfortunately, our Airbnb canceled on us that we had booked for a long time.
Sure they did.
And then it went back up as sold again for like times four the price.
Oh, yeah.
So it was, we got a $25 gift card, though.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So Airbnb was cool about that. And we've been scrambling to get things locked in ever since. But we got something. So we're planning that April like 8th, like you said. So it'll be pretty cool. Other than that, nothing really. Just watching terrible movies on Netflix.
I have broken this.
We definitely are watching terrible movies on Netflix. I'll tell you that much. I have a lot to say about that. We will get there soon. Let's talk about some other things. What else is going on, guys? Anything?
I don't know. It's been pretty quiet around here. Basketball started. It's basketball week, so that's kind of rad.
Nothing much really on my end. Just doing some. Replayed through Remnant 2 with a buddy of mine. Fantastic game if you ever get a chance. Watching Free Ren with the fam when I can, the wife whenever the episodes are too intense for the kids. Really good show. Recommend it to everybody, including you, Grayson. I think you'd dig it. You would be on fire for that show, but it's fine. You don't listen to me or any of my recommendations because you hate me. But
hold on. What was the last recommendation you listened to me on?
I listen to your recommendations all the time. I believe you give me two recommendations a week to watch, and I do.
We discuss those usually ahead of time, though. That's slightly unfair.
Yeah, well, still.
I only said slightly.
Yep.
But yeah, so.
All four Diablo games hit Game Pass this week.
That's because they're scrambling for some semblance of a profit on those.
It's fine by me.
Yeah, right? It makes them really easy to play.
Well, I will just go right on.
I love the recent. I love the recent events in that world. It's delicious.
Yeah. Yep. Is what it is.
Losers are losers. Anyway, let's talk about something. I know Raj is fuming at the mouth right now.
If we had a gaming podcast, I'd ask you to elaborate, but I don't give a shit.
We don't. It doesn't matter. I mean,
about the 14 studios that Sony closed.
Well, sure.
On a whim.
Yep.
Well, look, you got to do that. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do when you're not making money. So I guess
this is coming from a guy in accounting.
Yeah,
if you're
those are people on the end of that.
Yeah, it's fine though. Fuck them.
And it is what it is, man. I don't know what else to tell you, but
sure.
I mean, I didn't make that decision. I mean, I didn't want Sony to make the decision, but they felt they had to stay a company, so it's fine by me. Let's talk about some movie stuff. What else did you guys watch? Anything else except for the show?
I watched Ghostbusters Afterlife again in preparation of Ghostbusters.
Nice. Yeah. Good for you.
I like Afterlife a lot. This one's not making any money, so this is probably the last one we get.
We will see. Let's wait and see.
It's unfortunate. The last one we get. We'll look at that more in the box office.
Depends. If it's really bad, it might not be unfortunate. So
I sent you that. I sent you the article saying it's the movie is not great.
I know. I mean, Roger kind of like said that, and then you came in and said that.
And then like 8 hours later, you're like, guys, this is bad. And I was like, bro, legitimately, I sent this to you 8 hours ago.
And all I thought was that getting the news twice doesn't make it feel any better.
Well, yeah, I didn't. And the fact that I'm far more in touch with movie news than Grayson.
Yeah, true.
I don't think that's true at all, but I just don't talk about it on the show. I don't, you know.
One of us is the newsbreaker here, and one of us is you. So.
that's a little unfair. That's a little unfair. Yeah. Anyway, what else is going on, guys? Anything else before we get into the show?
No, I think I went over everything.
So I broke one of our computers that we use.
Yeah, this is coming to you live from the studio, but it is what it is. It's fine. The
computer I used to watch trailers on our 4K TV is apparently not functioning correctly anymore.
That's all right.
Oh, no, it's fucked.
Well, I'm sure you'll find a way to fix it. You're a computer guy.
No, yeah, I will.
I hope he's just going to do something.
50-50 whether I get it fixed during this show or not. So.
Can you not just not do that during the show? Thanks.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, of course. I would never do that.
Of course he is. He's not doing it right now.
Hey, you need the screwdriver?
Oh, my God. Stop it.
Over here in a drawer, actually.
All right, this is episode 375 of For the Love of Cinema, a podcast about movies, film, and cinema. It was posted each and every Tuesday and Friday at 5 a.m. on Podbean, which then distributes to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube. Each week, we start with the box office, current and upcoming releases, what streaming, trailers, and movies of the week. Without further ado, let's hop into the box office. And Ghostbusters Frozen Empire took the number one spot. I got to minimize. Hold on 1 second.
It's okay.
With $45.2 million, with a worldwide of, I say this with a heavy heart, just 61.6. I would have thought that'd have been higher.
Hold on. 45. Oh, wait. So this is its first week out, though. Yep. So that's its world. Correct. Okay. I gotcha. I was saying this was week two.
No, it's not. Well, we will talk about it next week on week two. Yeah. Dune Part 2 still making a very respectable $17.6 million with a worldwide of $574
million. Ooh, all right.
That movie's still creeping along just fine. Kung Fu Panda 4, $16.8 million with a worldwide of $268. That movie's still making money, Roger.
Only calling Dune Part Dune now.
I'll call it what it's called, Dune Part 2.
Didn't we have a meeting about this?
We did not. Thank you. Immaculate. No.
Well, me and Roger had a meeting.
Hold on. Just because you guys vote and I'm not there doesn't mean you win the vote.
Hey, even if you were here, you still lose.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Immaculate, like, number four. Immaculate, $5.4 million with $5.4 million worldwide.
I've heard good things about that, by the way.
Yeah, me too. Arthur the King, $4.4 million. And $14.7 million.
Its cinema worldwide score is C-. That's fucking awful.
Oh.
All right, let's get back to the Arthur the King number 5, $4.4 million with a worldwide of 14.6. So it's not doing great. I don't know how that movie has made such little money. I just don't get it.
Because it's not, it's just not an audience.
So here's the thing with that movie. It's like, I saw it on a ton of movies leading up to like a month ago.
Yeah.
And like the time it should transition to like heavy television presence. Nothing. Here's the thing. I don't know. I don't watch a whole lot of linear TV anymore. I've discussed that before. But, like, the TV that I do watch, never seen it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that...
How much did you say it made so far?
Arthur the King? Less than 15 in 2 weeks.
Gotcha. Its budget's 19, so...
Yeah. Well, it did make the budget back. I'm very surprised.
So far it hasn't. No, you're right.
The budget's that small with three, like, legit stars in it.
Yeah. One of them in Barbie as well, so...
Well, I'm willing to bet that... So we'll talk about it when we talk about the movie, but I have theories on that. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Cool. Looking forward to your theories. So there's 1 through 5: Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, Dune Part Two, Dune, as it's otherwise known, Kung Fu Panda 4, Immaculate, and Arthur the King. 6 through 10, very quickly, are as follows: Late Night with the Devil, Imaginary, Love Lies Bleeding, number 8, number 9, Cabri, number 10, Bob Marley One Love, still up there making money. It's topping out at 173, probably 175. Might top out at. Okay, that's not doing anything anymore, but
not really. No.
So there's your box office. I don't think it'll surprise anyone. Let's look at some current and upcoming releases as we do. Let's look at this past weekend, March 22nd, which is a Friday, brought us The Boy and the Heron re-release, Ghostbusters, yes, Frozen Empire, Immaculate, yes, Pixar's Luca, not even mentioned in the top 10, Problemista, also not mentioned, it went wider. But if you, I mean, just to be fair to Pixar's Luca, The Boy and the Heron also did not chart in the top 10, like whatsoever. Okay, yeah. So just to be fair.
Yeah, but one of those just won an Oscar. So.
That's true. March 29th, as will be our Easter movie, Godzilla Cross Kong, The New Empire.
Hell yeah.
In the land of saints Jesus and sinners.
Jesus is coming.
April 5th, which is Friday, The First Omen, Monkey Man and Wicked, Little Letters Goes Wider. April 12th, another big day, Civil War, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and Sting.
There's probably some good movies coming up.
April 19th, Abigail, Hard Miles, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and Sasquatch Sunset Goes Wider. Finishing off April with Challengers and starting off May with The Fall Guy, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace re-release, and Tarot, all on May 3rd. So we'll get into more of that as we go. But what do you guys think? You guys have good comments on the stuff coming out?
I want to know what Sasquatch Sunset is. And why I haven't heard about this.
Sasquatch.
No. Okay, Roger, thank you. Sasquatch Sunset. There's a standee for it here, tons of trailers. It's playing. I'm going to have to check it out myself. I'm very curious.
It's got a 79 on Rotten Tomatoes, well, a 68 on Metacritic.
Anything with Sasquatch in the title, like I'm wildly curious about. Because like
That sweet movie Abominable?
Yeah,
it was awesome.
We talked about that last week with Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah.
Not bad, actually.
Kung Fu Pandable.
Mm. That was awful.
You've
done better, Roger. You've
Boo!
Done. Oh, my goodness.
I apologize.
Let's take a look at what's streaming. This week, we're looking at Disney Plus. We are on Disney Plus in the rotation. The movie I chose, Christopher Robin, by director Mark Forster, Ewan McGregor, Haley Atwell. It's a feature from 2018 from Disney. This is, I think, at the tail end of whatever Disney was doing right. Christopher Robin's one of those movies of Winnie the Pooh comes back to. It's live action, too, which is important. Winnie the Pooh comes back to an adult Christopher Robin who has forgotten everything that he learned as a child with Winnie the Pooh, and he kind of learns how to see that part of life again. And I thought it was a fairly decent reimagining of what it would be like for if that happened. And I know, Roger, that we talked at length about how well Ewan McGregor was as the adult Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
That
movie's great. I like that movie.
I like the movie a whole. It's got a lot of heart and a lot of soul. And I mean, Haley Atwell also, they fit. Ewan McGregor and Haley do a great job as their characters.
I mean, when you mimic Hook, you're going to have a good movie. That's all there is to it.
I mean, on the B episode today, there's going to be a lot of that going around. But and they stole from a very popular video game.
It could be the A episode if you wanted.
Yeah, we could. We could deep dive it.
If you have courage, it could be the A episode.
Stop this! Come on, man.
Stop this.
But I've always liked Christopher Robin. I thought it was above and beyond what I thought it was going to be, and that was the end of what Disney was doing right. Everything after that just something happened, but. What do you guys remember about Christopher Robin?
I liked Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
It's good.
I mean, it's like Hook. It's pretty good.
Fair enough. Speaking of Hook, Raya and the Last Dragon by director Don Hall, and a few others, by the way. Kelly Marie Tran, Awkwafina, Gemma Chan, Daniel Day Kim, Sandra Oh, Alan Tudyk, Isaac Wang, Benedict Wong. It's a feature in 2021. Chris, talk about it.
This movie is better than you remember, I promise you.
Oh, it is. It's quite good. I didn't...
Well, this movie came out to a very soft release. It came out straight to streaming, and the movie just, for some reason, it didn't get as much marketing as it needed, I don't think, but the movie is actually pretty damn good. It pays a lot of respect to a lot of cultural stuff that is related to it, and the story's good. The Princess Rhea, she is a very strong character, and there are funny side characters, but they don't lean too heavily on them. Good story all the way through, and there's a very... The Act 3 is a good resolution, and it plays off of all the things that the story has built up, which I think a lot of kids' movies are missing nowadays. It's kind of weird. Act 3 seem to be a little hit or miss with a lot of films anymore, and Rhea does it pretty well. And it's animated wonderfully. I think Awkwafina voices the dragon, and she does a good job. It isn't terribly annoying in it, so I don't know. I think that movie is... way better than what people think or remember. And if you haven't seen it, it's worth a watch, especially if you got a couple kids that might
be. So a quick flashback to last week when I mentioned Awkwafina, and since you brought her up again, she is contractually obligated to be in anything related to Asian culture. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Chris, he's not being serious. Come on now.
Yeah. I'm being deadly
serious. No, I believe him.
List off her biggest movies.
I'm thinking in my head, and I think you're correct.
If you wanted to, I mean... So that came out during the heat of during the peak of COVID.
Heat of the moment. Heat of the COVID.
It came out of COVID, and I don't think it was. I just think it was one of those movies that they probably just had to get out, and they couldn't wait any longer. Because I mean, there are rules that especially for like the Actors Guild, and you have to get movies have to come out within a certain number of days of wrap for the stars of the film. Like you
unless
just can't hold.
Let it just kill it.
Well, sure, but that's the option. Release it or it's gone for completely. But sure, but I mean, I don't remember people not liking Ryan the Last Dragon. I don't know. Maybe I'm remembering it differently. But and this goes back to I've been really thinking about what you said a few weeks ago, Chris, about how me, Grayson, or Grayson adjacent people think that streaming films aren't
films.
No, I don't. I don't know if I take issue with it, but like I don't think I agree with that statement. I just think they tend to be they don't tend to be as high on the quality checklist because they don't have to be.
I think that while there is some truth behind the thought process you're having, I think what you're saying is kind of proving my point in a way though. But that's a whole different debate, right?
Well, so fine, like, it's a different debate, but just to be clear, I don't think that just because the movie's streaming, it's not going to be up to par. I don't think that.
Are you trying to walk back my slander? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, because I didn't say anything at the time. I was thinking to myself, like, that's the dumbest. I don't think that about movies. Well, I'm just
talked about Ryan the Last Dragon almost exactly 3 years ago.
We did. Anyway, but I just one episode we can. I'm actually thinking of a clever B episode. I think I gave it a 7.
I'm looking.
Go to the detail. It'll be in our details.
It's not, though. We weren't doing that then.
Oh, man. That means you got to scrub through it? Ooh, that's
no, no,
bad.
No. We're not doing that. Anyway.
No.
Anyway, good call with Lion and Last Dragon.
It is there.
Ooh. Oh, it is?
We all gave it a 7.
Yeah. Okay,
there you right. go. That's right. There you
all
go.
Right. All right. Thor Ragnarok with Chris Hemsworth, Kate Blanchett, Tom Hiddleston.
And you weren't on that episode.
Oh.
What?
I may have missed.
Hold on. Okay. That's fine.
Just me and Grayson.
I'd give it an 8.
We talked about Rye the Last Dragon and Coming to America 2, which is a huge
disappointment. I did miss Coming to America 2. All right.
Another day, another Doug. Thor Ragnarok, Chris Hemsworth, Kate Blanchett, Tom Hiddleston, Mark Ruffalo, Idris Elba, Jeff Goldblum, Tessa Thompson, Carl Urban, Anthony Hopkins, Benedict Cumberbatch, Taika Waititi, Clancy Brown, Ray Stevenson, Zachary Levi, Sam Neill, and the discount Hemsworth brother, Luke Hemsworth. It's a feature in 2017. Piss off, Ghost.
This is the good Thor. this is the best version of Thor.
I disagree. Well, it's one of the stronger versions, sure.
No, hold on. You think Dark World's better?
No.
You're going to be straight, buddy.
I think the original Thor is better of all.
Ew.
Straight Thor. Fine, but
Bad take.
I think the story is the strongest in the original Thor.
Bad take. You only like it because it's got that love element. That's all you care about.
Yeah, I like this one's like, he's like, no, man, I used to have a chick. Not no more.
Yeah.
Let's just fucking do dude things.
Yeah. Come on. That's not what I mean. I just think the story is strong. But like, it's got an advantage because the story is always stronger in the beginning because you don't have as many elements swirling about. I've always thought.
Yeah, but this is the movie that they really could have taken because like when this movie came out, like it was completely different than the other two Thor movies. It was a lot more fun. The comedic element was actually funny. And what could have been a great turning point for that character, you know, they kind of really screwed that character up when they made him go through like the Thanos arc.
Yeah.
when they, you know, made him go through Fat Thanos or Fat Thor or yeah. whatever. And then I really think that that's what really killed Love and Thunder, with having him have to get back into shape. It's like he had to go through all that garbage, and then that movie just didn't pan out. So, well, to me personally, this is the best Thor movie. It's funny, has good action, and legitimately you get to see them in different situations.
Well, like they turned Thor into a joke in Endgame, right? And then they kept the joke rolling even through making him, like, recovering him, right? It was such a weird direction in that. And to go from Thor Ragnarok and then go from that film, watch it all the way through, enjoy that movie, and then watch what happens afterwards to that character, it's almost criminal. It's depressing, honestly.
So I've been thinking a lot about Love and Thunder, and I know we're supposed to be talking about Ragnarok, but I want to pose something to you guys because like I thought about this a while ago.
Okay.
So obviously we didn't like Love and Thunder. We unanimously think it's pretty bad, right? Like they took all the good from Thor Ragnarok and sort of just threw it out the window. But I was thinking about this right now. Listen, I understand there was repetitive jokes and stuff like that just didn't hit. We really fucking hated that stuff. But I wonder, because Taika Waititi was at the helm here, I wonder if he had an original plan for this movie, and then the upper people at Marvel were like, well, we're going to really mess with Thor in between your two movies. And if you still want to do the next Thor after that, cool, it's yours. But we're going to do this first. So like he has to like change all that, you know, like change in midstream thing to like work that stuff in and work it back out. Because, I mean, that's what he does. He doesn't work it in.
Yeah.
He has to take the time to actually physically work it out of the movie. So like I wonder how much like that actually interferes with the cohesive plan. I give
Taika Waititi absolutely no benefit of the doubt.
Oh, no, that's fair.
I feel like the poor comedy in that movie is all him, because it feels like it's a bunch of his personality characters all making jokes with each other the whole time. I think where the comedy failed on it, maybe not all the writing, but the comedy side of thing, which, you know, is probably something that's like in his wheelhouse, I think he missed hard on everything from the repeated jokes, the whole bromance thing, the whole, you know, being useless and being being so in love with what's her name? I can't remember. Jane, like, to where he's useless is just all terrible repeated trope comedy all the way through that wasn't funny. And then on top of all of it, to top it all off with naked Thor in the God Council scene was actually offensive. Like, well, actually offensive.
I just don't understand why they, because I don't disagree with the premise of. I don't disagree with the premise of Fat Thor. I know Fat Thor was, you guys were just talking about it. I don't disagree with the premise of Fat that he failed. Well, at least how he sees it, he failed.
Sure. And
because of him, the snap happened. Part, yeah. So like, and then he just lost everything. But you remember, there's that moment in the beginning when he's fat. We've made a few jokes about Fat Thor, and then someone brings up, we could have stopped it. And then the camera goes to him, and Chris Evans is doing what Chris Evans does best, especially in a movie like Extraction, is he's got that look on his face like, give me another shot. I swear to you, it'll be different. Like, they could have taken that in a different direction. They should have. Although, and what I've been saying for the past couple of years is people who are not qualified to make these calls are saying, oh, no, 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 Fat Thor's hilarious. Keep Fat Thor. It's like the same person that made the call that, oh, no, 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 the six goat screams in Thor Ragnarok or Thor Love and Thunder, hilarious. People will love it. No, we don't. And well, we didn't need Fat Thor. We needed Thor to get back in shape in the third, in Endgame. We needed that. But he didn't, and it carried all the way through to Love and Thunder, which just destroyed it. But I mean, I don't disagree with the premise of it. I just disagree with how they executed the character.
All that to say, Ragnarok's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. It's a very strong Ragnarok, certainly some of the better stuff towards the end of the MCU.
It's like that movie does well because it is just plain fucking fun.
We're going straight through the devil's anus.
Yeah. I also didn't. There's a lot to talk about there, but in a B episode, I'd like to maybe get in like the Thor stuff. And maybe
hey, big guy. But the sun's getting real low. He's trying to get Banner down in the middle of that fight. He's caressing his hand.
Yeah. Like, don't worry. I know to handle him.
I do remember the whole when Tom Hiddleston visits his. When they visit him in that weird like jail scene, and then like when he leaves, then Taika Waititi's Gore comes out of the He comes out of the piss off ghost. I did think that was pretty hilarious.
Well, yeah, because that's well timed, simple comedy that you don't beat over the, you know, beat over the head. But it's fine. Don't
like completely just take it so it's not fun anymore. Sure, I get that. But and the scene on the cliff with Anthony Hopkins in not Thor and Loki, but his two sons was beautiful. It was a great.
Are you Thor? God of hammers.
Anyway, those are available if you subscribe to Disney Plus. You may also view Christopher Robin, Raya and the Last Dragon, and Thor Ragnarok, along with many others. Let's talk about some trailers. Ooh, Pool Man with Chris Pine, Annette Bening, Jennifer Jason Leigh, DeWanda Wise, Danny DeVito, Jack Ortiz, Ray Wise, and directed by Chris Pine. What are we thinking about this?
Dude, what the hell is this?
I don't know.
I don't know why Chris Pine would choose to write this or direct it or any of the above. But it's got to be in his head. It's got to be
in his brainchild. It just means he's going to give a shit about it. So I hope it's good. But a lot of times, about half the time, whenever someone comes out as, you know, director and writer and producer, it's like, oh, man, this could be bad. It scares me. But
so, like, Chris Pine's weird, right?
Yeah.
Like, we get that?
Oh, yeah.
But, like, does he have to look homeless, too?
I mean, well, hold on. I think he looks like a pool boy. If he's a pool boy was a real profession.
Also, what year do you think this movie's set in? Because I don't think it's current 70s? Times. Let's say, I was thinking 70s, 80s.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, he's writing on a typewriter, first of all.
The acceptance.
Yeah, but also that could just be, like, I'm a weirdo sort of thing, too.
The universal acceptance of a man in a Speedo screams 70s to me for some reason, but, you know.
Or just European.
Yeah,
that's widely accepted in Europe.
That's true. Yeah,
I don't know. I trust Chris Pine. I don't know why I'm oddly kind of looking at this from a bird's eye view
with it. Yeah,
it's like, but it just doesn't.
Is it because of the Speedo?
It's got to be the Speedo. Honestly.
Well, I don't hate the eclectic group of characters here. I don't. I mean, I wouldn't. I just don't see this. He dodged
the Speedo.
Stop talking about the Speedo, guys. Come on, stop talking about Speedo. I hope it's good because, look, if he's going to make it, then he's got my attention. He's just got to be good because, remember, he's coming off of, not that he made it, not that he directed it, but Dungeons & Dragons, which was really great.
I like Dungeons.
It was pretty good. It's pretty good.
They make Dungeons & Dragons Legos. I sent that to Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I think pretty good is underselling it. I think it's pretty rad. I think
as a lifelong fan of Dungeons & Dragons, sure. It was pretty good.
I get that. Let's talk about Alien Romulus. This is one I'm horrendously excited about and very scared about at the same time, with Isabel Merced, Kaylee Spaney, Archie Renault, and David Johnson. It's a feature. Roger, you said you were excited for this. Tell me why.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it on my cell phone.
you hear that, Ridley Scott?
Listen.
But no, like, look, you know, we had a couple of Alien movies come off that have not been very good with...
Couple?
What was it? Well, I'm talking about like when they kind of reset them, like Prometheus.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? I don't remember.
Alien Covenant.
Covenant. Yeah.
Covenant's bad.
So like the ideas behind those movies, like they kind of like tried to do something different, right? But we're still not to the point in the alien world, or at least we hadn't, it never got us to the point where we wanted to see things happen. This one like seems like more to it's like we're trapped in a ship. We got some xenomorphs. Yeah,
there'd be lots of face huggers in this ship too, just from this trailer.
So like, yeah, and like this is what Alien is.
Yeah,
listen. And like there are two Alien movies. The first two Alien movies are like a masterclass in like horror action movie, right? Like very satisfying, very strong characters, very good enemy. Like it fucking they work and they work really well. I would love a movie be a lot closer to that than the more recent Alien thing.
Oh, like, yeah.
This at least, obviously it's just a teaser, kind of has that vibe going for it. And I'm fine with that.
I feel like this trailer was good, right? This 1 minute kind of teaser that we got. And I feel like whoever's, you know, at the helm of this, Ridley Scott's the producer of it too. So he has some say in this.
Yep.
I do like the fact that it feels like they're moving away from the thing they tried and might be trying to get back to, you know, the dim lights, the flashing lights and stuff, the hearing the sounds in the background of people getting just murdered and, you know, and then all that coming into like the culmination of holy shit, this is what we're dealing with.
Well,
we might get that. And I think that would be good for the Alien franchise.
Game over, man.
game. We, you know what's funny about that is, so there have been two Aliens games recently that have been, well, three, but one's a massive multiplayer, which I don't count. But there's been Aliens Colonial Marines, which for a while Fox has signed off with canon, and people are like, "What? This story's horrendous. Yeah. You bring back Hicks." You know, he's not dead. Like, what are you doing? And then so they kind of disown that. And then they made Alien Isolation with, you play as, I think, Amanda Ripley.
That's not terrible, actually.
No, it's not. It. But the point is, they tried with Prometheus and Covenant, they tried the more action approach in that, like, which was Alien Colonial Marines, which is what I thought people would have wanted, except it wasn't, if it, but now they're going back to, I think, the Alien Isolation trial, because that was also a hugely well-received game where it was just you on a ship avoiding an alien. It was very scary, and they did it right. And so I feel like this is going back to that. But remember, it's hard to, because in the second film, in the third film, I think it's stated maybe once or twice that humans and alien had never come in contact with each other. And it would seem weird that all these adventures with the xenomorph, not one shred of radio wave made it back to Earth, or the Colonial Marines or whoever, whatever the Earth Defense Force it was in between all this stuff, that, hey, there's a hostile alien organism out there. Because it just doesn't make a lot of sense that way. And I don't know if I like that we're doing, because if you notice at the end of this trailer there, now, I've said for a long time, and I could have been quoted back in 2010 about Prometheus saying, uh-oh, why don't they just take the Marines, put them back in action with the weapons we love from the second film, and take Ripley back? And like I said, like, that's the winning formula. They tried all this stuff. All they got to do, because you notice at the end of this trailer, they have very carefully chosen one of the female characters is holding what looks to be a very close rendition to the pulse rifle, one of the most famous movie weapons of all time. And point is, they're making their way slowly back to that. But I said that back in 2010. How have we taken this long to get back to that? Marines, weapons, aliens. That's what we want. Why can't we get that?
Because didn't they make an alien movie with Marines, weapons, and aliens, and it didn't do very good?
Aliens, the second film, which was a masterpiece. What do you mean you don't know that?
Well, I mean, they made four.
Yeah, I was gonna say those. There's more. No.
Hold on. There's Alien 3, which is there's back to one alien on a colony or on a prison colony with a bunch of people without weapons, and then Alien Resurrection was a bunch of people, a ragtag group of thieves with kind of half-assed weapons, trying to escape on a spaceship. Like that was closer to. But that wasn't. I mean, but the story just wasn't there. That's the problem.
Yeah, but after a movie franchise swings and misses twice, and then you want to come at it with the same thing again, you got people that have skin in the game telling you,
yeah, they got to do something.
You got to do something different, man. This didn't work last few times. Well, it's not this. We're going back, and then they say, nah, that's still too close. Why don't you put them on a planet where they discover the aliens with a weird android that's going to make butt sex jokes, and then it'll be really
cool. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's super strange.
I am actually in the weird camp where I didn't hate Prometheus only from a visual standpoint. I think that movie was ahead of its time in how good it looked, how the planet, like when things start going wrong and they have to rush to take off. I think that's some of the best sci-fi just like screen to screen play I've seen up to that point, as a young moviegoer. I thought that was cool. The rest of it was dog shit, but like I liked the concept behind it. I do like something like that, especially in the sci-fi universe. I do want to know why and where and stuff, and like that kind of those answers are kind of cool.
This will be my last thought. And you guys feel free to comment anything you want to comment on. But they've already done the whole thing that started with the ship on LV-426. They've already crashed a ship that looks exactly like the ship from Alien on another planet that isn't LV-426. So they can they do another big crash like that? That's my whole thing. Is like they did it in Prometheus.
I don't know if they have to, though. You know, they don't have to.
No, you don't have to crash. You can go a different direction. You can have it dock.
You can have it dock into a
fucking colony ship.
So there's this thing called Warhammer 40K, right?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you a little about it. There's a xenomorph race called the Tyranids, and their specialty is observing their prey before they attack and adapting to them and finding their weaknesses. They're like a supercomputer in bug form. So I think it'd be kind of cool to see them dock after they've taken a ship, learn what they can from the brains of the things that, of the hosts they've taken over, and then showing up at someone's quinceañera. You know what I mean? Like,
no, what's up, dog?
Yeah, I think that'd be kind of cool. Aliens, that's interesting. Are here.
Let's
so, I don't know. Right. Whatever happens with this, the 1 minute snippet we have looks pretty good, and I'm down to see where this goes. I think that Ridley Scott having some direction in it, but maybe not be in direct control, might be a blessing for it. So we'll have to find out.
Well, that's the thing they're going back in the right place, in the right direction. I just hope they make it there before people just straight up lose interest.
True. Well, I mean, the people that are interested in Alien are still interested in Alien.
That's true.
That's not going to change.
That's a Disney property, Alien, by the way. So Xenomorph can technically be a Disney princess.
That's good.
Fuck yeah.
Well, with that weirdness, let's talk about Sweet Dreams with Johnny Knoxville, Bobby Lee, Kate Upton, Sweet Jay Moore, Brian Van Holt, Theo Van Vaughn. It's a feature. Theo Vaughn. It's a feature. What are we thinking, gentlemen? I'm in. I love everything Johnny Knoxville does. Even that Adventureland thing or that weird. I love that.
Okay, hold on. I got a visual for you. You said Theo Van, and my brain immediately did something. You know the stupid van from Dumb and Dumber, their dog van?
Yeah.
Shaggy
Wagon.
I just pictured it as Theo Van's face, though.
Yeah, there you go with the mullet.
When you said Theo Van, I was like, Jesus God. Okay, sorry. I'm done with that.
Anyway,
I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is going to be. I made a Field of Dreams joke that I'm not proud of at this point, so I'm not going to repeat it. But I like Theo Vaughn, so that might get me, and Johnny Knoxville, so that might get me into a seat for this, but I'm not sure. I'm not a big Bobby Lee guy, but
I mean, he does get hit in the nuts,
which I'm actually here for. So
I'm fine with that.
Maybe they know what they're doing.
And we'll see what's going on. I don't know how much I feel about it. I mean, I don't even know. Do we even know besides like what? I mean, even if it's a full length trailer, but do you even know what the movie's about with a full length trailer?
He's an alcoholic.
It's about someone in recovery with other people that are in recovery.
And
their
the
house
place
is
where he's
sold.
In like rehab or whatever his isolation is about to go out of business or is being sold. And they kind of have to come together to
Makes
win
money.
A softball tournament with the money to keep the place going.
Well, I think it's like dodgeball, but sadder.
He wants to be in touch with his daughter. Yeah. I get that. I'm excited for it because I love Johnny Knoxville more than I like any of the other many other elements here in play. But
so the thing with Johnny Knoxville legitimately is the dude can actually act.
Yeah, yep.
And he will always be known as the jackass guy, which
I think he's
is
cool
fair.
With that, honestly.
Yeah, is very fair. Made him rich beyond our wildest dreams.
Yep.
But like he can bring it, man. Like we've seen him do it. Like, you know, all jokes aside, like the movie The Ringer, besides being incredibly offensive, is an excellent movie.
Kind of is, yeah.
And, like, he still works with those guys that he met because, like, Johnny Knoxville must just be, like, a dude. He's, like, a good dude.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and I always respect him for that, mm-hmm. So.
I don't remember The Ringer being great.
The Ringer's kind of funny.
It's fun, I mean, but that's
all right.
I mean, comedy and quality.
Where the fuck did we get ice cream?
It's comedy you'll never get in 2024.
No,
you know what I mean? But back then, it was gold.
I mean, look, you should get it.
Well, the whole premise of the film you wouldn't get today. You know, he's pretending to be a mentally handicapped.
Right, because actually, you can probably just now gamble on the actual Olympics.
Yeah.
The special
anyway,
Olympics.
Okay, so those available to watch on ours, if you haven't seen them on our social media.
We are so far in the weeds.
Pool Man, Alien, Romulus.
I think we're right where we need to be.
Sweet Dreams. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about the movie of the week. Arthur the King.
Oh, you don't want to do Damsel here? All right, let's go.
I do not, because we'll do 45 minutes on Damsel coming up. But let's talk about Arthur the King with a tomato meter of 69.
Nice.
And 98 audience score.
Whoa.
I don't know if I agree with that.
The people that are going to see this movie.
I have a hard time believing if you actually went and saw this movie that you didn't like it.
Yeah.
Sorry, listen, it's not some cinematic masterpiece,
what?
But it's a fine, serviceable movie. Though.
It is.
So
I agree. With a Metacritic of, I think it's probably more fitting, of 54.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it after we get some particulars out of the way.
Well, it is an Eldritch horror movie.
With a clown.
Yep.
The demon is taking the form of a clown.
Let's talk about this movie then, Arthur the Dog. Mark Wahlberg, Natalie Emmanuel, Simu Liu, Ali Suleiman, to name a few, and directed by Simon Sellin-Jones, written by Michael Brandt. Roger, if you could, what is Arthur the King about?
A dog.
Fiend.
Fiend.
Title.
Why don't you
a
tell
racing
everyone,
dog.
Why don't you tell everyone what you thought? I thought, that might be a little too inside baseball. It's just, it comes a point in this film where, like, you you don't want the dog to die, and it's
yeah. So I told the guys before we started broadcasting this evening that I made a decision at like the 45 or 60 minute mark, the first hour of this movie. I was like, if this dog fucking dies, I'm going to burn this theater to the ground. Like, I was just all in for it.
But
let me ask, dude, dog movies, fucking god damn it.
But he's such a good boy.
He's the best boy.
He's the best boy.
He's the best
boy. He's such a good boy.
He's a good boy.
So this movie, this fucking,
man,
I did too, dude.
I did not.
Spoiler: the fucking dog doesn't even die, and I was just like, if his fucking dog dies, I swear to God.
Where did you guys? Okay, we'll talk about it. But I watched this movie. I thought it was good, but
it was at the end.
Hold on. Okay. Let's start at the end. So this is about a race, an Iron Man race that Mark Wahlberg
dogs. Championship racing dogs.
This is a true story, or based on a true event.
Based on true events.
That Michael Light.
Part of this movie is actually true.
So Michael Light, who plays with Mark Wahlberg, he's doing an Iron Man with the team, and this is his last year to compete, and he wants to win it so very badly. And he's chosen this team. He gets half the funding, and they start it, and for some reason, a dog is on the entire trip with them.
Yes.
And so if you've seen the trailer, here's the thing I don't understand is, now Chris, you may have a little insight into this, as I would usually think,
a man who races dogs.
I usually think that a film like this is a guaranteed 1 or 2 weeks of pretty great box office, but it's not the case here. Why isn't it the case?
So my theory is that when you watch this movie and the things that it's on the trailers of too, the majority of this isn't a Christian movie,
it's
but it
not.
Feels very Christian movie when you're watching it. The script is simple and straightforward. There is someone, you know, trying to come back from, you know, kind of like having a redemption arc very early on, has learned from their past mistakes and is trying to pay that forward in some way, shape, or form with the people around them while doing good in the process. And it's so by the numbers, which I feel like a lot of Christian films, no offense, Christian film enjoyers, there's nothing wrong with that.
Some of them are okay.
This movie feels very Christian, and I can't quite put my finger on exactly where you cross that threshold into that territory, but this movie is in that territory. So, and those famously don't do huge big box office most of the time. And I think a movie like this just attracts a certain kind of crowd. You don't get the kids that want animated movies, so it's not that kind of family film. You don't get anyone that's, you know, going on, you know, like, you know, the usual date night movie and stuff. They're looking for something else out of that. You just get the crowd of, you know, I mean, I don't want to say it, but older folks, retirees, and, you know, more, you know, just family style movies that don't have young kids in it. That's what you get when you go to a movie for this, which isn't, you know, which is kind of a tight demographic to kind of shoot for.
It is a small cut of people.
Yeah.
Chris, tell me about the demographic of the movie that you went to see.
Listen, so we're small town, right? But we're also old town. There's a lot of people, average age of the people in our area is 68, right? That's the average. So I walk into the smallest theater in one of our local chains, walk in, round the corner, and I'm not kidding, there are near 70 people packed like sardines in this small ass theater one of, again, average age 68. It was a lot of old people, a ton of old people, and a couple of young families. And I was like, oh my God, I had to fight for a seat in 2024 on Arthur the King. It was nuts. It was crazy.
On the second weekend.
Yeah,
you know, you know what I mean? And it's already an auditorium one.
It was Saturday afternoon.
Right? I went on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense, because why wouldn't it? If there were 50 people in every theater like it was in that one, it'd be doing so much better in the box office, which, again, goes my larger issue of, I think they manipulate some numbers all the time, but that's
I think that in our area, this is going to be a more popular movie, though, too. Again,
there were 7 people in my showing of this.
Whatever.
My showing was
just saying. So.
It smelled like old people in my theater. Whatever.
And just to say, I every time someone brings this up about formulaic, and we tend to talk about it a lot, too, is, you know, and people do love them, the Hallmark Channel movies are almost are almost cut and paste, and they do very well for being completely formulaic. And
I would love to see what those actual numbers are for those.
I would be very interested to know also, because a lot of them, I've seen a lot of movies, and it seems to me they just quite literally, they open a script, erase a name, put another character in, change some key things. And
Man, if Hallmark had some balls, like during Christmas, they'd put one of these bad boys out in a movie theater.
You're right.
I'm sure.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, their following is not a.
They have to make them slightly longer because, like, they're always blocked for 2 hours with commercials, so it's only like 85 minutes that they got to do. But like, if you push one to like 110, 105 minutes, bro, I'd fucking make a killing.
Operation. What was it? Operation something drop.
Operation Christmas drop.
Operation Christmas drop. That's basically what it was.
With the Netflix film in like Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Guam, buddy. Guam, not Guantanamo Bay. Those are not the same. Dear God.
Guam, sorry.
The place where we sent war criminals that fucking from 9/11.
Watching that movie felt like a war crime.
Or Guam, the beautiful island nation out in the South Pacific. Not the same.
Anyway, what I was going to say was that would have been a good one for them to put in theaters, honestly.
That was the Netflix one, though.
That was the Netflix one, yeah, yeah. That would have been a good one to be in theaters, I think.
Well, you see, this one is, I keep coming back to in my mind, before we really get into it, I keep coming back to is it's okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's very easily recommendable, and it's just okay. And if
you want to score it?
No, not
sound like you want to score it.
Not quite yet, but I mean, that's what I keep coming back to in my mind is it's okay. It's got an okay cast, you know, Mark Wahlberg, Simu Liu, Natalie Emmanuel. They do a fine job.
Sure,
it's just but there's nothing if you're not sold by the trail of this movie, you're not going to be sold.
Well, so let's talk about this movie for just a second. I'll dig into it and I'll be the icebreaker. So like every person on this team has different reasons for being there. Here, right? Everybody has their own motivation, right? Like, Light's motivation is like he's got so close so many times and then failed. He's taken a couple years off. He's got this itch. He's got to get back because race is race. Okay, sure. People can buy into that. And then you got the Navigator.
Old ass dude, bad knee.
He's got 4 wins already. He's looking to cement his legacy. He got kicked off his old team because like he just really can't do it anymore. So he's got like, hey, we're gonna stick it to him attitude. And we got the young lady, her name is escaping me right now, but she's like a legacy.
Yeah.
You know, her dad is like a famous like power climber, you know, and she's every bit as good as he was, even better for her age.
Yep.
And you know,
she says she doesn't want to do it. Dad says you got to do it. So then she goes to do it.
We found later on that you know dad's dying, and you know that's her motivation because he asked her to do this.
Yeah.
And then we got Simu Liu's character, Leo.
Which he's in terrible shape, right?
Terrible, awful.
Yeah, he let himself go.
Who still looks like fucking Ken?
Yeah.
but you know what? Like his motivation is, you know, like hey, I'm already rich and famous. You know, I have my own clothing line and everything.
Why not get more clout?
Well, but the other thing, too, is, and it, you know, Light brings it up to him. He's like, hey, how long before they say you never won one either? You know, where he's kind of like a real prick about it in the beginning. And then, like his character arc is actually pretty good in this movie. So, but like, everybody's individually motivated. And I think that really matters here because, like, they're all very believable, and which is better, you know, that they are believable because, like, this is a true story.
Yeah, true. But, like, I don't know. The way they come together, to me, is also varied by the numbers, as we've said. It's like he shows talk to them. So, like, we just saw this in Rebel Moon, right? I'm not wrong, though.
No, you're not.
He shows up, has a quick conversation. They're like, are you sure? Yeah, I'm in. And then they go to the next person and the next person. And then, you know, we have our team. It's like it happens so, like, you know, like piece after piece kind of thing, and it's kind of eye rolly, but at the same time they didn't pussyfoot around with, like, you know, the will they won't they join kind of thing, and at the last second someone shows up either.
There.
So respect on that front. I had a problem with Ken's character,
Leo.
I had a problem with him the very beginning when he's like recording them when he screws them up in the mud and is like, you know, this is gonna go on Instagram. There would be a fight there, right? Like there's no way he just sits there and takes that. Like, that's a super dick move.
So maybe, but here's the thing, and hear me out, because I mean this serious. Like, this is not a joke. It's going to sound like a joke. What's he going to do? Like, is he really going to fight him? Because he's probably about to get his ass whipped, too.
True.
He's already wiped out.
Yeah.
Leo's
yeah.
clearly in better shape than he is. He ain't coming at him. Because yeah. not only am I going to film this, like, you already look stupid, then I'm going to whip your ass and film it again.
Maybe.
I mean, like, that seriously.
But, okay, so, like, I guess my follow-up question and my real question is, does someone really do that, though? Because that felt very this happened in a writing room, and this never happens in real life kind of thing.
That's the thing. I never looked. Maybe it did.
That's true. We could have looked for an Instagram post or something.
I'll do that right now.
Yeah, yeah. But like, it's like that felt very, very unauthentic in that moment. And it had me worried right at the beginning because it happens like that's like the first 3 minutes of your movie. And it kind of pulled me out because it's like, no one does that. Like, no one is that like that much of an asshole to someone that you agree to be on a team with to do this life or death race sometimes for some of these people. So it's like, that kind of thing kind of felt very like foreign, that didn't belong in this film.
I don't know.
This movie, I think it does. I don't think it belongs.
Well, I mean, that's just one of those things that to me, it's like you wouldn't have done it unless it was real. So maybe
you
might have a point that might.
Hold on. You say it doesn't happen unless it's real. I say writers don't understand how real life works.
Well, some of them, sure, but there were a lot easier way to show a rift between those two guys than do the Instagram post.
Maybe.
A lot better ways and a lot quicker, too.
Maybe. But still, so that's my point there, and only because we're talking about it. But yeah, like, these characters come to by very happenstance, as Roger was saying. You know, they come together, he gets the team, and they have their own self-motivations, but, you know, Light's been on a team with Leo before, which there's a little bit there. And then the other two characters we get, they're very likable. And, you know, you have the old navigator and you have the young legacy up and comer. And they're both very likable for different reasons. And very quickly, you do believe that these people are on a team together and in it together. They have early friction, right? You know, there's concerns about you know, the navigator's knee being bad and having to assist him, and that's a big like taboo, like, you know, like you don't want someone to assist you kind of thing. And he's very against it, which, you know, is something that comes up later on. But the whole them being together and trusting in each other's their strengths, it comes through in ways that, you know, that I think are believable within the stories. You know, like playthrough, which is nice. I did roll my eyes when they show up at the mountain. They're like, "What do we do?" And she's like, "We climb." That was kind of like, "Oh God, that's a tough line to deliver." And, you know, bless her soul for trying.
Well, I mean, what she's right though, and what else are they going to do? Backtrack and lose all that time, or go up the?
True.
Which, I mean, it's just a matter of the writing.
That's what I mean. Like, maybe say, you know, maybe she goes, "I think we can climb it." You know, let's put our bikes out. No, she does the whole gladiator. We climb, and it was kind of, you know, funny.
We climb.
I wasn't the only one that snickered when that line happened.
Here's a question I have for you: is are there two different movies here, or is it really just well written one movie with two different stories woven together?
I know what you're saying, and I understand why you're saying it. We don't our people don't meet. So we meet Arthur very early, right?
Yep.
But right we off meet the bat, actually. Yeah, we meet him alone though. He's on his own. He's doing his thing, and you know, we go back and forth between, you know, Light and his team and Arthur, you know, as the story goes through, but they don't come together in any way, shape, or form until like 45 minutes into this film. So it's like, I understand what you're saying. We're like, it feels like we have two different stories that kind of collide and then become one, maybe, but it takes a long time. It took longer than I thought it would to get going on that front. It's cool when it happens, and you know, it's what you're kind of waiting for, you know, just because if you know the premise of the film. And I think that once it does, I think the movie does mesh into one. But I do agree with the fact that it could feel like two films running parallel with each other until they come together, just like the stories do in this movie.
Sure, and I'm just asking the question because it's a discussion. But I mean, I could have seen the movie easily split and be more about the dog, or just take the dog out completely. I can see those questions in the writing room, like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Do we make? But like, without the dog, you don't have a story.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's. And if these events are true, then you kind of have to include the dog, but you never know what happens behind the writing room.
Well, so, okay, so I have a question for you then.
Sure.
I mean, and so, like, are you more interested in Team Light's story, or are you more interested in Arthur's story?
The dog, always.
Well, no, well, the thing is about what one of you guys said, Chris, you said about the whole, when you've watched the trailer, it kind of has, like, that it could have a Christian influence.
Yeah.
And I kind of think like because they never it's never explained how the dog goes all those miles, what 200 miles
over, yeah, 183 miles, they say,
183 miles to rough terrain to find them. Mm-hmm. Like, how does that happen? Like,
they tell you how it happens. He has wings.
Yeah, okay, great. But they never, I mean, so we're just taking it based on he's been following them and he's meant to, and Arthur is the catalyst for change in these people, or that's what I'm asking is like, how are we framing the dog being there? How are they explaining it then?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't think they do explain it.
They don't.
Yeah, they kind of leave it up to.
He just cuts through the jungle pretty much.
Yeah. Dog knows shortcuts. You know what I mean?
Sure. Dog's just doing dog things.
I would have liked to have seen. And I know because it's based on true events, maybe they didn't have the leeway to do this. But like, I would have liked to see them in some way, like not like lean on the dog for help, but like almost like figure out how Arthur got to them, even though they took all the shortcuts and stuff. Like, and go, you know, and like kind of like through Arthur's presence, think, well, how is he doing this? Because this could save his time, and then like figure something out, maybe
just follow him.
Yeah, something like that even. But like, so following him feels too much like, you know, let's trust. I think we should trust Arthur. Like, that feels very cliche. You know what I mean? But, yeah. You know, something along those lines of like, you know, like them, like, you know, because Light kind of like fixates on it for a little bit. Like, you know, how did he get here? What's the story? And then, you know, figure out something. But like they don't, which is fine. Again, it's more about what Arthur means to the team once Arthur is with the team, which is a cool story to tell too.
So I can't confirm if there's an Instagram thing or not. The real people's name is Michael Lindward. He's Swedish, actually.
Okay.
His wife is real. Leo is a guy named Liam, is a real person.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But I can't confirm. Liam does blame Michael for them not finishing that race, though.
Okay, so I believe that.
At least that beef, okay, whether it's an Instagram thing or not, is real, or at least was real, part of the reason they end up coming back together.
Gotcha.
Also, that happened there. The one that they didn't win was in 2009.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and they say this is like three, almost four years later.
Well, it was actually like six in real life. Gotcha. 2015 is when this would have actually taken place, not 2018, which is what the movie was said.
So. Gotcha.
But, I mean, that doesn't really affect anything. But,
well, see, it seems weird. Like, there's other ways they could have given the two characters beef rather than do what they did. I mean,
if it's true, it's true then, right?
Sure, that's what I'm saying. But the whole goal is to show that Michael is headstrong and doesn't care who it affects as long as he wins. And, like, that's what ultimately hurt the team. And then, of course, at the end of this one, he gives up the win to save an honorary member of the team.
They give up the win.
Yeah, they.
He Frodo's and Sam's. He Sam's Frodo right out of the river, right out of the ocean, whatever that is. And just
well, so like you say, he's very headstrong, but he's not headstrong once in their race. He's headstrong before, but like he doesn't. There, I can't think of a single point where like they clashed because he was being headstrong.
Well,
that
he's
never
very
happens.
Self-sacrificing in the race.
He is. Like,
you know,
he is.
He's taking the burden on himself, and so much so that he tells Leo, "Be like, hey man, you have a real voice in this. So like, if you think we shouldn't do something, I will take your advice. I didn't say I would follow it, but like it will be under advisement."
Yeah.
And sometimes just having, hey man, I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that helps, especially with a team of four. You know, you can't just have one person out there. Just, you know, obviously everybody has to be a leader. Everybody has to play, you know, has to have a leader. Everybody has to have their own role, but like, you know, you have to be able to have open dialogue.
And yeah.
I mean, that's really what it's about. It also leads back to when like he decides to get him the IV. He's like, we'll take the penalty. Your life is not worth this.
Yeah.
And like, that's when you start to really see like the turn, you know, like the cement to turn. So,
yeah. Well, because everybody wants to keep going. Like they say that they can keep going, including Leo. But he's like, no, we're going to do the IV.
Yeah. Your life's not worth it.
Yeah. And they end up leaving like right as soon as everyone else shows up anyway.
I also, because I don't know the rules of this, when Leo took that IV, they were assessed a 4-hour penalty.
Yes.
Where they've been assessed a 4-hour penalty for each IV? Because if somebody's getting one, like, bro, we all.
Why not all? No, it's per IV.
No, because I figured that had to have been because I'm like, bro, if he's getting one.
Yeah, why are we all get one? Right?
Charged up here.
Oh. Yeah.
Because you ever had an IV when you're like just dehydrated?
I actually went to the hospital once. I had to get an IV.
Feels incredible.
Yep.
Oh, really? Yep, I've never done that. That's
It literally pumps life back into you. It's weird.
I mean, they basically fill you like a water balloon with sugar water.
It's the closest thing to adrenaline you can get without adrenaline. And, well, cocaine, but still.
Well, you cocaine. Can just do cocaine. Ford Love says you can't mix an IV and cocaine.
Ford Love Center does not advocate the use of drugs in any way. Just saying, just saying. So let's talk about the other element here that then would be the other side of the story. Let's talk about the element of the dog. And I just want to get your guys' take for a little while on how they use a dog versus like how effectively they use a dog and how and could it have been more effective if they had maybe scaled it back. So I think the first question is they were going for the heartstrings, obviously.
Of course.
So they were going for more of a homeward bound / Marley and Me than they were anything else. Than they were like, you know, Beethoven or whatever.
But this movie starts off very homeward bound with him. Like
it does. It very much does.
Running through the city away from the other dogs. Yep. They're like, hey, man, you went the wrong side of town. Bark, bark.
Bro, you're not supposed to be here. What's up, Vato? Pulls a fucking knife at him.
Why does that fit? Why does that fit, though? You know what I mean? Jeez.
Because they're in the Dominican Republic.
True.
Yes. What do we, did you guys ever happen to watch Strays?
No.
No,
I really with Will Ferrell as the dog. I really like that, but you should. That's very rated R and very funny.
I do hate Will Ferrell.
He's not my favorite, but he was funny in that. Anyway, yeah, we get it.
Will
trust me.
Ferrell.
When you have to explain
I'm
gonna
turn your mic off.
Yeah. When you have to explain it three times
for 2 minutes,
you could just boo me. Whatever.
You get a 4-hour penalty.
No, that was pretty bad.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's go back. So they're going for the heartstrings, of course. I wonder if like that affected the way they were telling the story. Like, I wonder how much on the cutting room floor ended up because they wanted to use more of the dog and less of Michael's team, which, I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot on the cutting room floor.
Here's the thing with that. And could there be? Of course there could. But, like, you know, it's not like we have, like, the dog's inner monologue or anything going on here. So it would be just him running through the woods or the jungle. And, bro, I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
You know?
To be honest, I'm betting that they cut some dog scenes out.
Yeah,
four more scenes of them. Yeah, I think the opposite's true. Yeah, because it's not easy to work with animals on set, right? Like that's like a notorious thing. I'm willing to bet that they got a whole bunch of shots and actually cut things out from Arthur's, you know.
What about the terrible CGI of the dog drama?
Listen, I was going to wait to go there. Listen.
Can't.
Wait. Hold on. What? See, a horrible CGI of what?
The dog was drowning.
The shot of Arthur, yeah, like looking up out of the water. No, God!
Every Disney cartoon involving water we've ever seen.
Oh yeah, it was bad. Their $19 million budget definitely didn't go to CGI. No.
I thought it was interesting because a lot of those shots. If you replace the dog with Samwise Gamgee, it almost looked like a shot for shot what happened with Frodo and Sam in the boat.
Well, like, so like,
I think they should have made it like a orange tabby cat.
Well, I'm willing to believe that shot happened where they go, you know, we don't have the budget for something like this. And someone goes, anybody got a green screen at home? And they just green screen that dog.
You know what the problem is with it, seriously?
What?
It's like you just could have had it like the camera, like looking up at Mark and like. As it like just have it do like that weird fade to black,
yeah.
And get ripped out. Yep. Like you didn't have to put that shot in.
You chose to do that. You chose. You're like, yeah, no, that's the one.
No one thinks it's worse if you do it the way that I said. I swear to God, it's fine. It's fucking fine.
Nobody wants to think. Oh, maybe they put a dog underwater for this.
I wonder what this dog looked like right before it drowned. No, no, I don't care.
Yeah, it's not good. It's bad.
I mean, look, bad or not, it was still a moment that got a lot of people.
It was definitely a moment.
It was something.
Very emotional. Sure, I understand that. But I mean,
that's what we're saying.
Horrible CGI aside, I don't think it really affected the enjoyment or emotional impact of the moment or the movie. I don't think so.
I mean, bad CGI does pull me out for a moment. But other than that, it's fine.
I want to talk about Mark Wahlberg for a second.
Marky Mark?
Yeah. So one, he's still in incredible shape. Good for him.
Yep.
The other thing is too, like, and I don't know if this is a Mark Wahlberg decision or like this is true to the movie or whatever. So like he's got the worst fucking beard I've ever seen in my life. Right? It's
terrible. He's scraggly.
Like, yeah, and I'm not saying that, you know,
I've seen Grayson's beard.
Yeah. And it's probably like that.
It's close.
But like, so I don't know if that's like a Mark Wahlberg can't grow a beard thing or like this is supposed to be like true to the character of Michael or whatever. But like I have a side, so like he's wearing a suit and tie, right?
Yeah.
He's at Broadwater or Broadland getting like pitching.
Yeah.
To like get money. Mm-hmm. Dude, he looks like he just walked off a fucking out of a homeless shelter.
Yep.
And I'm like, bro, you at least just shaved. Like, listen, I have a beard.
Trim it up, yeah. Something.
I have a full beard and long hair right now. I look 1,000 times more professional than that man did wearing his shirt and tie, and I have on fucking basketball shorts. Like, I'm not kidding.
Is that incorrect?
Like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Because I thought to myself, it's like, why? Did he, like, he just was like, hey, we're doing this whole movie in, like, 3 weeks, and I'm not shaving once? Like, I'm not doing it?
Well, I mean, maybe that's how my, I mean, but the question still remains, what one of the questions I always ask, if that is a true-to-life moment, which is fine if you're going for truth.
Sure.
But, like, if your audience doesn't know that, then what's the point? And well, I always ask this because...
Be fictional.
Yeah.
I always ask this because on... And this has always been in my mind of... So, a lot of famous stars won't do hand models. If you remember on Dark Knight Rises... there was a shot where, like, I legitimately was a hand model for Joseph Gordon-Levitt when he was driving the tumbler. They cut all that out, but like my hand, when they do a cutaway shot of his hand turning the wheel, my hand was legitimately on being filmed for a Dark Knight Rises, for the Dark Knight Rises film. They ended up using it. But the point is because, like, and I ask, why do you guys need a hand model? Because they couldn't find anyone's, like, with dainty female kind of hands for JGL's hands. So like, I was like, I was just saying a joke.
Anyways, yeah, but like, why wouldn't he do it?
But the point is, if
I don't touch things.
But my question's always been, and same with, like, you know, if you're showing your breasts as a woman or a private part, man or woman, whatever. If everyone in the world thinks it's yours, then it's your. You know, like, what's the issue here? You know, like, yeah. Why even try to hide it? If they all think it's yours anyway, then what they are looking at, if they think it's yours.
Well, I just imagine going into a meeting where I'm like, I'm going to ask these people for like $100,000. I'm shaving. Fuck them.
They're gonna do it. They're gonna give me the money because it's me.
Sorry. My whole point of saying that is that has to be a true to life moment. He had to have had an awful beard and didn't want to shave it, right?
Like, no, because like you guys saw the cards at the end, right? The photos and stuff. That's like from the race.
Yeah.
He didn't have that beard.
Oh, okay. Good point. I didn't even think about that. So
I think
so,
like, no, Mark.
I think that's a Mark Wahlberg thing. This. Yeah. Like, that's a. That was like, you know, hey, we need you to shave it. He's like, I'm not shaving.
Let me ask
him to sleep on the street anyway. Fuck him.
Let me ask you this then. Is it?
It's not in the script, but I want to do it.
Was it part of his character? Like, what did the director or Mark even think? Like, no. His character would, because he's not going into that meeting on his A game. Let's show up
Mark's beard. I think Mark's girl's into his beard right now. He's like, nah, I ain't shaving it.
Also, question about her. Her name is Helena, right? Does she not ever wear shirts?
No, sports bra all the time because she's sporty.
Sport tops.
Yeah, she's sporty.
Yes.
And they wanted to get that through your head. They're very sporty people.
Like, look, the part where she's not like working out and running, cool, no problem with it. Then, like, she's just sitting there having breakfast, like, we're hanging out with her kid, like, later on. Nah, sure. Sport top. Nah.
Sport top. Nope. There's a sponsorship somewhere.
I would have. Yeah. Okay. I would have, if I was in charge of wardrobe, that woman would have worn a shirt, but.
Let it be known.
But I mean,
Grayson would have put her in a shirt.
It's just like weird little things like that I notice. I'm like, who lives like this?
Well, maybe, again, this maybe, feels maybe. Very this script feels very Christian, very B movie feeling because it's like
I agree with you, Chris. I 100% agree with you. It does.
It's things like this that make me feel that way.
And when the movie was done, my first thought is, okay, why did they sell it to me as a Christian film? Why did the trailer seem like there was some God element to this? Why did it do that? And I mean, maybe they thought that was a sell. Maybe they thought people would want to know, how does Doc end up with them? I got to watch the movie to find out.
Well, I mean, it probably is divine intervention that they have money because, like, what do they do?
Well, like, but it's not divine intervention.
She works. He talks about her having, like, her making the money.
Yeah, some.
Yeah.
But there's never any question.
They live in a very nice piece of property in Colorado.
That's what I was saying, right? Like, they're living in, like, High Plains, Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
With, like, 1,000 acres.
Yeah, and like mountains in their backyard. Yeah, like, that's money. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Dad has money, obviously.
Sure, I understand that. At this point, they're making this movie.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know. I think they had a cool house that they were able to rent out to film some of this in. They're like, yeah, this is good.
Well, Paul Guilfoyle is not one of my – wasn't it? What show – he was on, what, CSI for
CSI,
like
– CSI?
Yeah, for like
CSI
10 years, 10 plus years. Like, yep. Yeah, he's – I like that they brought him back. Let's talk about that character for a second too is, do we like the father as, you know, one of the motivators for Michael or no?
Well, okay, so yes and no, right? So one, dad's kind of a prick. Two, though, you know, when he's a prick, Michael deserves it. Because, like, look, Michael's kind of being a bitch.
Yeah, a little bit.
Let's just lay it out there. Like, bro, I asked you to do a fucking open house.
Yeah.
Like, you got to talk to people. Anybody that showed up, they just had to sign up saying that they came here, give them a card.
Yep.
I didn't ask you to do shit, and I'm paying you.
Yep.
Do your fucking job. He didn't, because he's like...
His a little unappreciative.
Like, well, no, and his dad's like, legit, he's like, dude, I didn't ask you to do anything.
Yeah.
You're except, just doing an open house.
Except
that's
wear,
it.
Except wear a shirt that you didn't wear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wear the wear a polo shirt, which you purposely threw on the ground to wear an unbranded black polo.
Like, well, God. I mean, I don't... Here's the thing. I don't... I mean, but like, that's... I don't... When the movie was over, I don't understand why they thought it was necessary to show the wedge between those two. Even if the goal was to show that... Damn it, Michael wants what Michael wants, and he's gonna try for it regardless of what anyone says. That's what I don't get is why they chose to do that. Because at the end, him and the father were fine. There was no more beef. It was fine. They were having great family time together with the new son. You know, it's like I don't understand why they did the thing that they did. It just doesn't make sense to me why they chose to do what they
it's
did.
It's just one of those scenes where if it never was in the film, it wouldn't have mattered. But at the same time, you know. You get another big name to put on the list. If you know that matters to some people, I guess it's decisions like these and scenes like these that make it feel B movie. Because even the back and forth they have, it's kind of like by the numbers stuff that like you know exactly how this conversation is going the second it starts. You sure. know where it's going to end up, and then it goes exactly where you think. So it's just nothing in this movie is surprising. It's just kind of there. You know, it's just kind of there.
Which is why, like, I mean, so is this kind of a B movie to begin with, or is this meant to be taken seriously, though? That's the thing.
Well, I mean, you can take a B movie as seriously as you want to take it, you know, but...
I mean, Star Wars, let's, you know, be honest about that, but I don't know. I don't know how... Chris, I'm erring on your side of camp. I thought it felt campy. It felt all the things you said.
Yeah, I mean, like, and we've talked about all this, but we haven't really talked about the race itself. I think the movie's
cool.
Yeah, yeah. The movie's strongest when
it also
racing,
happened
right?
in Ecuador, not the Dominican Republic.
Was it Ecuador? Okay. I mean, the one that I thought was really awesome was, of course,
I mean, Dominican Republic's kind of a small place to have like that kind of adventure race.
Yeah,
it's not really that big.
I did really enjoy the zipline moment.
I mean, the zipline definitely has some stress to it. Definitely some, you know, some suspense. I liked that, you know, that because I thought they were just going to all zipline across this thing. And like you're getting the same shot from four different people, like woohoo, and then like they keep going. I'm glad something happened by the third person because it'd have been really cliche if the last person going also has something going wrong
sure.
with it. So like, but like you know, yeah, it's suspenseful. It's a cool way to solve. God, that'd be a lot of weight on you. But you know, as you strap another person,
I
guess
carabiners are supposed to hold like 1,000 pounds.
Oh yeah, so, no, yeah. yep. But it's just, I mean, it's a cool scene, but you know they're gonna make it out. So
sure.
Again, you're just waiting to see how they get there. And I like the fact that, you know, again, true story, but like I like that, you know, spoilers, that they don't win the race and that they commit to that, you know, when in the end everyone's kind of cool with each other and cool with it. I don't like the whole like the villain of the film, the other team. It's kind of cliche the whole way through.
He's not really a villain though.
He's not. He's just a dick.
Just competitor. Yeah.
Yeah, but then they win and they're cool with him because like, you know, we won, but we'll help you out anyway. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. Whatever.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I bet. So I don't know. It's
hey, winners win.
They do. They do.
Oh my God. You're right. I don't really think that was I don't think they were set up to be like the antagonist.
I have a question about the zipline scene, and this is something that I think of because I'm fucking weird like that. So, you know, if your little trolley or whatever the zipline thing's called, I'm pretty sure it's trolley or trucks or whatever.
They mentioned trolley, I think.
Yeah. If it breaks or gets stuck midway like hers does, you know, wouldn't your immediate thing would be for you to clip yourself to the bar ahead and move forward instead of just hanging there stupidly?
Yes.
Now, here's the thing, and this is what I was thinking. So, like, even if you didn't try to slide forward, if you were to hold on, unclip, and then reclip, right, which is semi-dangerous, of course.
Yeah.
Right, because, you know, that's all your weight and everything. But then you could then reach back, undo your little trolley thing, clear it out, rehook, and go back on, right?
Especially with her being the expert climber.
Yes.
She'd have the upper
She'd
body
have the
to
strength
do
to
all
do
that.
It.
They should have had Leo be the one that got stuck.
No, should have been the old guy.
Or either one of them, I think. Either one of them would have been fine for, and then for Light to come help out. Her being the one who, I get that she probably
she's the least experienced of them, though.
She in this, not in climbing.
No, you're right,
And everything that we're talking about them fixing is through climbing. So it's like, you're right. Why can't she just pull up, relieve some pressure, unclip, clip, and then go? Yep. She seems like she'd be the capable one of it. But also, she's the only one that could probably clip to Mike with the bike and he'd be able to hold her weight because she's the lightest one.
True.
So, like, the way they wanted to fix it to show that he's willing to take that to fix it, I get it, but probably should have been set up a little bit differently.
Also, one other thing I think I would mention, because, and I'm not sure about this, you think there's more than one connection to the trolley thing, right? There's got to be, like, a fail-safe connection.
Well, there's three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why is only one the one that you have to, you understand my
point? Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. I get it. Yep, I know. I understand completely. So
I totally get not having a spare set of trolleys. I totally understand that, right? Because weight-wise, you know, you're
weight-wise, and they're strapped for cash. Yeah, not gonna have every bit they just bought. So,
maybe you got to bail yours out there. But I mean, like, you clip and move.
Yeah,
just saying.
It is what it is. But it's things like this that are like, you have to suspend your disbelief even in this kind of movie. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you know, let's go for the ride they want to take us on kind of deal. You're either up for that or you're not.
There are some pretty cool shots of them sliding.
There are. And I bet they got to do that with safety, with the safety squad. But, like, that's kind of cool that they got to do that.
Like,
they
when he's hanging upside time. Down, he's like, look at my ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, that's what I'd say to my buddy hanging
yeah, right?
Up.
Yeah.
Look at you.
My question, did they also leave the... Did they leave the trolley on the beam?
Yeah, of course they did.
But, like, what do you... Don't you have to tell someone that's there so you don't screw up someone?
That was an out-of-service, no longer functioning trolley.
Yep.
That's why it was rusted to begin with. That's why it was able to... why it snapped. There's a reason why they quit using it.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
So, I have another scene I want to bring up.
Okay. All right.
I hate that he threw his phone in the middle of the fucking jungle.
I think it's fun. Yeah.
I think there would have been a fight there. I mean, I think
nobody does that, dude.
He would have been Michael Light would have been punched in the face.
Let me ask you a serious question.
Leo is still bigger than him.
How much cell phone service is he really getting in the fucking jungle anyway?
Also true, but he's recording.
Especially,
it's mainly what it is.
Oh, I just figured he's live, bro.
No, I think
he's
recording.
He's not live.
Coming at you from the unless fucking jungle. Said
coming at you live. He ain't live. You know what I mean? But, like, no one takes someone's phone and fucking throws it in the jungle. It doesn't happen. Again, that's another writer room thing.
So I
rolled my eyes.
So I don't want to cut you off on this, but I do like the callback to where he's like, you know, I had a spare phone. I think it would have been funnier if when he threw his phone
he immediately
pulled out a second phone.
No, that
shit would have been funny.
that'd have been eye rolling, but I also would have been at least funnier. No, you're right. But yeah, it's like, because at the end he's like, you know, I have a spare phone. Fuck off. No, you don't.
Fuck off.
Well, here's the thing. It'd be funny if he had, like, a third phone. Because, like, once he pulled out the second one, he fucking threw it, too.
Yeah. Yep.
but it wasn't that kind of type of movie. But no, I agree with you, Chris. I think there would have been, most people, there would have been a fight there. There would have been a real fight.
He'd have thrown him off that mountain.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, 100%.
Go get my phone, bitch.
But no, I don't disagree with you.
Go get my fucking phone.
So, okay, let's circle back to the dog then. Yeah. About how they, you know, they tease us with the dog, you know, because, like, the movie still goes on for like 15-20 minutes after the race ends.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah. One more thing about the race then before we get to dog, because I think that'll be a good way to lead into the end.
Yeah, it's fine.
How bullshit is the you can't take the dog on the boat thing?
Oh, that's dumb.
I wonder if that. So I figured that had to have been true though, because hear me out. If that's not true. Okay, that means somebody creatively decided to put that in there, which also leads to one of the worst scenes in the movie, like we said, with the CGI thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I think maybe, just maybe, that had to have been true.
Okay, so either way then. So then from the perspective that it's true, why? Because here's the thing. Like, you can't take this stray dog with you that no one cares about, but you can't take it on your boat. Like, it's publicity for the organization. They're obviously getting it. They know about the dog, so they know, you know, so all this stuff happening. Why wouldn't you let the dog on the boat anyway? Oh. It's their choice. And then lastly, there was no repercussion for them putting the dog on the boat anyway in the end. Because they put the dog on the boat.
Here's the thing that doesn't make any sense is they say
came second.
Well, here's the thing that doesn't make any sense. They say it's for your safety, but these people are doing an Ironman through a fucking jungle.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, safety's not really high in their concern anyway, so
yeah. Just let them take the dog. the fact that they tell them no, but then it doesn't matter that the dog ends up on the boat anyway, leads me to believe that that is not an actual thing that happened. That's more of a writer's room thing.
Really got disqualified and end up in 34th place.
Yeah, like that would make more sense, right? You know, like oh, you guys made it, but we got to tack on 4 hours.
I fucking told you.
Yeah.
So we're assessing you a penalty.
Yeah, here's 4 hours. You actually came in 11th. Good job, though. Like, yeah.
So, like, the one thing about this, the last thing I say about the race, it's about time we wrap this up. Mm-hmm. What does winning this race actually get you? Besides the world championship.
More
race.
Sponsorship, more deals.
So, like,
stuff
it's not
that.
Like there's a monetary prize that we know attached to this, you know? Because, like, he goes and asks the Broadland people for $100,000. So, okay. You know, justifiably, let's talk business for just a second.
Yeah.
If I give you $100,000 and you win, that means I at least get $100,000 back. Mm-hmm. Cool. Appreciate that. But I also get all X, Y, and Z sponsorship for it, you know, because you're Team Broadland and, you know, one team, one dream, baby. So, like, are they getting $1 million or what? Or just a sponsorship with another company? Like, I don't get that.
True.
So.
Grayson, thoughts?
I mean, I don't. I don't know the real answer, so I'm not going
to. And also, just to be out there running for, like, you know, basically 6 days, you know, 500 miles through the jungle with, like, 5 hours of sleep total. Like, people must die in this thing all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I bet, yeah.
Which means it's dangerous, which means putting a dog on your boat seems to be the less dangerous of all that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
You're right. $150,000 cash purse prize is the average
is that per
prize.
Person? Or is that per team?
That's per team.
So he asked for 100.
But then there's other ones that are like 345,000, 350,000. So that ranges, but on average,
okay,
it's
150,000. Okay, so it could be like half a million, maybe.
Yeah, there could be. Yeah, yeah. There's different, like, difficulties, if you can believe it. And, like,
I mean, what's the world champion? You have to be the most difficult one, right?
Yeah, you I think figure? So.
Yeah, yeah, have to be.
I mean, it's called the world fucking championship.
Yeah, so we're probably in half a mil territory.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least that makes sense, because that's something that he never mentioned at all.
True.
Because, like, they did get second.
No, they're doing
so,
this.
So, like, you would have got something.
Some money,
for second,
yeah. They're
right?
doing it because racers race.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah, dog's racers race.
Dog.
Dog's dog.
That's right.
That's right.
All right, so let's talk about dog and the way this movie actually, like, culminates at the end,
yes.
Where you two became walking, blubbering bitches.
Oh, I was. I
100%. Don't believe you.
I did not.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe you for 1 second, Chris. Not a second.
Well, I've talked to you about a dog before, and it was really sad. So.
Well, I get it. I've admitted to movie crying before.
No, I know. That's why, like,
I cried at Sun Coast.
Really find this hard to believe.
I just didn't. It's like, wow. I don't know. Again, by the numbers. So
the old people really freaked you out, huh?
It smelled so weird in there. Get me out.
No, I don't know how you didn't. I was
no,
tears were strolling down my face. It was bad.
You know what actually really kicked me to the tears.
Well, tell the people what happened. Tell the people what happened.
Okay, you know, they get in the second place in this race, and we find out, like, hey, you know, they get this dog to a vet, and the dog's probably gonna die. Like, Arthur is not in good health.
Not doing well.
Nope, he's got a parasitic infection.
Necrotic flesh.
Yeah, like he's dying. And, you know, they're like, hey, you know, even if we try to do some stuff here, they'll never let you take him back to the seas because he's infected, which I'm glad
that
they said something like
that,
because that's
100% sense.
Accurate.
Yep.
Absolutely. Hey, you can't bring this dog there that's got some sort of, like, Dominican parasite.
Yep. It is infected with bugs.
Yeah.
You may not take this on the plane. Yeah.
Right.
This is how the zombie virus starts.
Yeah. And they, you know, and the vet in the Dominican Republic is like, hey, man, it's in your best interest to, like, let's help this dog pass peacefully. And, like, that's a conversation that I've had before.
Yep.
And it's fucking brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, legitimately, you have to make the decision, do we end this animal's life? And in his case, you know, he's like, give me a sign, brother, and we'll do what we need to do. And the dog, like, puts his paw on it. So they keep fighting. He ends up somehow getting approval to bring this dog back to America because, of course.
Of course,
he wouldn't have, this wouldn't be a story.
Money.
Yeah, sure, of course. PR.
Yeah.
never forget that. That's better than publicity.
True.
And he gets the dog back, and then still, though, you don't know if the dog's going to live when he gets it back to, like, Denver, which, how long of a flight is that, by the way?
He said 6 hours.
From the Dominican Republic to Denver.
He said 6 hours,
that's not a straight flight either.
No.
There's a hub in Houston.
I'm going to look. Keep talking.
That'd be Punta Cana is where he had to fly out of, I bet. But it's like getting the dog back, and then you don't find out if he's going to, you know, you don't know if he's going to live. And then you have the heart out where, like, you know that he's going to live, of course, because the dog comes bounding up the mountain like a fucking hero.
Of course.
You know what really made me cry, right?
What?
Wasn't even that part. It was the part where they're showing him at the end, like the real dog. And I was just like, God damn it. Like, I couldn't. And it was just fucking happening. And like, look, I don't mind. You know, I never shied away from telling you guys when I cry in a movie. Mm-hmm. And like, it just got me. And I was just like, God damn it. Dogs are awesome. Like, that's it, you know? Like, dogs are so badass. Love them.
6.5 hours.
Straight.
With no connection flights. So it's actually, yeah, it's pretty good. It's like 9 with connectings. So like, I can see where like this movie could affect people, but the reason why it didn't get me in that way is A, it's hard for that to hit for me for some reason, but also, again, the movie felt very predictable by the numbers. So, you know, I didn't see this dog not making it, you know. And if the dog would have passed, maybe I would have got hit by it, because I've lost a dog recently. I've got another dog who's old and in bad shape, which I'm probably gonna have that same conversation you talked about with the vet. So like, and if the dog wouldn't have made it there, then like, if she would have said, we need your help, he goes in there and it's like time to say goodbye deal.
Well, like, they don't ask you to come in and help because like, they don't let you push the needle in. So like, like, what a fucking dark twisted thing that would be.
So like,
like, you have to put him down. She's giving the fucking syringe. What fucking movie is this? God.
So anyway, so if that happens, yeah, maybe it does get me, because I had to say goodbye to a dog recently, probably another one soon. But the dog, you don't. Dog makes it. You know what I mean? It feels good, because like you said, he comes up over here like a fucking champ. You're like, yeah. Yes! You know, you're cheering for that moment. Yeah. And I was ready for that to happen. I think, because
that dog's still alive now. Probably not.
Right. No, not right now. But like, because that's what the movie sets you up for.
Yeah.
This movie is feel good all the way through. And I don't think they had the runtime to make the this go darker, even if they wanted to take a creative liberty.
Yeah, it's only like it's less than 2 hours. It's barely over 2 hours.
Yeah, with the trailers and stuff, with the budget they have, you know, if you take the liberty, and this is the what if world now, and you kill Arthur, then you have to have the recovery, because you can't just leave that man broken. Like, that leads to something, right?
So here's,
you
know, the thing, though,
he comes home with a puppy and blah 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 blah.
Well, they had that built in though, because like, technically, if you kill that dog off, okay. You know, instead, she could have been like, at the end, the wife could have been like, oh, I'm pregnant. You know what I mean? That could have been like the redemption thing.
Yeah, so yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, this is the good coming out of the bad.
It's a boy, you name it Arthur.
No!
Oh, man! Oh,
God, name it after a dog that fucking died that you knew for 6 days.
Name it after a king. A king, yeah, King Arthur.
A dog you hung out with for 6 days. You named your firstborn son after him.
Yeah, but you know that's what happens in this movie, if that's the way it goes.
God, that's so much worse.
All right. Let's move towards the end here.
All right. What else you got?
I'm good, man. I think I'm ready.
Yeah, I got nothing else for it. The movie's fine, so.
There's no point where I think this movie's overly bad besides the CGI thing.
There's no
point where I'm just like, hey, I have to champion this movie from the rooftop. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So what's your score?
Who wants to go?
That sounds perfect.
Oh, okay. No, okay. That's fine.
It just leads in well.
So, like, legitimately... So my score, it's not real high, not really. I'm just giving it like 6.5.
Okay.
Like, I like this movie. It's fine. It's above average to me, just because it is very likable. It's very easy to watch. It's not a slog or anything. It does transition pretty quickly from scene to scene. And there's cool stuff in it. Like, you know, doing the adventure stuff is kind of neat. It's got good dog content, and everybody loves good dog, right? Because he's a good boy.
He's just a good boy.
He's a good boy.
Yeah, good boy.
And
Chris,
you know,
I love dogs.
And
it
is very feel good too. Like, everything comes out the way you want it to, and that matters to me. Mm-hmm. Because like, look, could this have gone a different direction? Of course it could.
Oh yeah,
but it didn't. And here's the thing: even if it was a true story and it went a different direction, I still probably would have been okay with it, because like, the movie works.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think 6.5 is. I'm happy with giving it that score.
All right. All right, I'll come in second on mine. 6.5 is a good score for this movie, I think. It's a little high for what I'd give it. This movie is above average, though, right? Like you said, if this is on, I could walk into someone's house, this movie's on their TV at any point, I'm like, I'll be like, oh, that's Arthur the King. I sit down. You know what I mean? Yeah, that was a decent movie. It wasn't bad. You know, I'd be able to talk about it with anybody. I could be, you know, do you think I should watch this movie? Did you like Homeward Bound? Yes, watch this movie. It's pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, it's not bad. I think that even with its problems, you know, it and the predictability of it, sometimes you want a movie that's easy to watch and is predictable. You know what I mean? It's just something you want to throw on. This movie's 5.5. I think this movie is just above average. It's fine. I was going to fault it for being so predictable by the numbers, but I think that's part of the course for this movie. It's like, I'd be like calling a kid, like an animated film, too childish. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're in for when you walk into a theater to watch this movie. And I think after what I saw, I was like, no, this makes complete sense. I think it's 5.5.
I'm gonna go with right in the money, Chris. 5.5. To me, it's very watchable and it's very recommendable to anybody. Yep. So it's certainly above. It's a 5 or above. But I mean, the other half point is I think it's a better movie here than what box office and people are giving it.
So, I agree with that.
So I mean, I think a 5.5 is fair. I can recommend to anyone. Like Chris, you're like, well, do you like dogs? Did you like Homeward Bound? Then absolutely watch this movie. If neither of the above, then why would you watch this movie?
Yeah. Well, why are you going to see this film? Yeah. Ask yourself.
But it's a fairly likable cast. I think Mark Wahlberg is probably miscast in this, but as Michael Light. But everyone else seems to fit well. The dog.
Hold on, I have a question.
Yeah.
Who are you putting in this besides Mark?
Oh,
Mark
I don't. Wahlberg, I don't.
Mark
I don't
Wahlberg
know.
Wanted to do this film.
You think he wanted to do it? I don't.
This is his trend right now. Think about the other movies he's been in lately.
Hold on, I have the perfect answer. It would be Handsome Glenn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because, listen, he comes off in a dickhead as a lot of his movies, right?
Yeah.
That's how you soften him up.
Yeah, maybe.
And everybody loves a fucking dog movie.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. But Mark Wahlberg wanted to do this film.
Sure.
This is,
well, it's probably his production company.
This is his current, like, wheelhouse, if you look at, like,
sure.
Films
I just,
he's got going on.
I just don't think, like, I just don't see the intensity of Mark Wahlberg in this film. And, like, there's one point when he's yelling at his team. He's like, come on, guys. This is what we do. Come on. Like, yep, there's Mark Wahlberg right there. Like, for that 4 minutes. Like, yep, that's him.
Fucking Kate Yeager, baby.
Yeah.
I got to get to Optimus Prime and help the Autobots. I'm a fucking loser. My name's Kate Yeager.
I have a terrible name.
I'm awful.
Still the worst name in cinema, Kate Yeager.
I'm an awful lot.
So I think 5.5 is fine. It doesn't rank as high as some other dog movies that we've gotten in the past, but doesn't nearly rank as high as Marley and Me. That's my benchmark because, you know, Marley, especially if you're going for the emotional angle, like Marley and Me is, it's not only an emotional movie, but it's also an extremely well-made movie.
That's still Homeward Bound.
So yeah, it's just,
remember Milo? Remember that movie?
Oh yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Which one?
Milo Otis.
Barely. But yes, I do. Barely. But yes. All right, gentlemen, thank you for joining me as we talk about A Dog's Journey. Well, that's actually the name of a movie. I was going to say.
You can't do that.
Movie that's
that's copyright stuff, right?
All right.
Yeah, can't do that.
For Arthur the King, and with it has A Dog's Journey. All right, this has been episode 375A of
colon
4, the South of Cinema, a movie podcast. Each new episode posts every Tuesday and Friday morning at 5 a.m. on the podcast service of your choice of the following 6. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and now YouTube. Please leave a comment or to rate, subscribe. Every little bit helps. More importantly, thank you very much for listening. Check out the show on Twitter, @LoveCinemaPod. I'm at Grayson Maxwell 1.
I am at Rod Stillian.
I'm Christopher Bond.
Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, always posting interesting little movies, stories in the film universe. Send us an email to fortheloveofcinemapodcast@gmail.com. And next week, we're taking a look at Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, and Roadhouse. Well, I have some inside information on Roadhouse. I don't know if I'm going to talk about it, but I have some inside information on Roadhouse.
I'm not even kidding. A Dog's Journey is a 2019 film in it, and you're going to laugh when I tell you who's in it.
Who's
Dennis
in
Quaid.
It?
No, yeah, I know. We talked about that.
Yeah, we do talk about it. Yeah.
Okay. That makes complete sense.